You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 8, in which we talk about my top 5 favorite devotional practices. And thank you for tuning in to the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to take their faith to the next level. My goal today is to encourage you to become intentional about your prayers and devotional practices. I was at a men's conference last weekend, and a man asked me, if you could just practice one prayer or one devotional practice, what would it be? In today's podcast, I'm going to share what I think is that one non-essential daily devotional practice, and I'm also going to give you my top 5, so I'm going to put 4 more in there, of what I recommend for a life of prayer and devotion, things I've gained from spiritual direction and talking to others and just reading the greats of Catholic spirituality. But before we get to that, you may notice there's a little more excitement in my voice this week. As you know from last week's podcast, we launched the new St. Thomas Institute. I want to apologize. We did not get a podcast out last week. It was crazy. We filled up all the spots. We've had just a ton, a flurry of activity over there. It has grown, and there's people from all over planet Earth. This really surprised me. There's about 15 different nations in the new St. Thomas Institute. And in case you've missed it, maybe this is the first episode you're listening to, the new St. Thomas Institute is a membership institute in which we study theology and philosophy. We put on high-definition video courses every week. We have a forum. We have audio. We have handouts and printouts. This is a way to continue your education in an inexpensive way that does not have a lot of time constraints or pressures on you. So anyway, we have 15 nations represented at the new St. Thomas Institute. We have Australia, Brazil, Canada, get this, China, Colombia, England, France, India, Ireland, Lebanon, Mexico, New Zealand, the Philippines, Poland, Scotland, Spain, South Africa, and of course, the United States of America. It's amazing. I can't believe it. As a professor, I would before never been able to have students from so many countries and students. We have people who have not even graduated from college. We have young people. We have elderly people. We have people with PhDs and masters. We have all kinds, and we're all studying and learning together. So it's really exciting. If you're interested in it, check it out, newstthomas.com. newstthomas.com. There's a video there that kind of tells you about what we're doing and how it works. All right, we're going to break right into our proverb of the day. And this week's proverb comes from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. So Proverbs 16, 16. And it reads, Get wisdom because it is better than gold, and purchase prudence, for it is more precious than silver. Get wisdom because it is better than gold, and purchase prudence, for it is more precious than silver. We should spend our lives not in piling up money. Of course, we need money to survive and run our families and whatnot. But the greatest treasure that you can gain in this life, according to the Bible, according to the book of Proverbs, is wisdom and prudence. As we've been learning in the Institute, wisdom is beholding the big picture. God, the nature of the universe, the meaning of life, your eternal destiny, heaven and hell. And prudence is applying what you know from wisdom to practical decisions, everyday decisions. For example, what kind of car should I purchase for my family? What is the best diet? Should I be working out and how? And even moral issues too. Should I cheat on my taxes, etc.? Okay, so prudence has to do with this daily decision making. And in the Bible here, we see wisdom is gold and prudence is silver. So we want to spend our time building up our allegorical bank account with wisdom and prudence. That's the true treasure that we should seek. And of course, we know from the New Testament and St. Paul, Jesus Christ is the eternal wisdom incarnate. So we must first seek our Lord Jesus Christ. From him flows all wisdom. Okay, so we also have every week, for those who are just now tuning in or subscribing to this podcast, every week we also have a tip of the week. And the tip of the week can be advice, it can be a technology that helps us in our daily walk with Christ, or just in our practical matters to make life easier or more efficient or more intentional. And this week's tip of the week is, well, it's not really a tip, it's just a reminder about diversions. I talk about them a lot, especially during the tip of the week. Diversions, I usually speak of them in a negative way, that they're bad. But this week, I want to talk about the positive impact that diversions can have in our daily living. Most of the time, we're working on a big project, and we're diverted by things that we think are really important but probably aren't that important. A phone call from someone you don't know, a bunch of emails that are just kind of dinging in through your email client, or maybe you're just distracted to go play Sudoku or a computer game or a video game. And these things are sort of robbing your time and taking you away from important, critical tasks that must be done. So I've talked about that a lot in the past, but I was thinking this week that the diversions in our life can be good, and we cannot live without diversions. We can't be 100% free of diversions. We need to let our mind relax. So it's good to schedule times of diversion. So during the day, you know, you may say, hey, if I finish this in critical task, I'm just going to play guitar for half an hour, or I'm going to play Sudoku, or, you know, I'm just going to call up that old friend and talk about nothing, just catch up. It's not something that I have to do today, but it'll rest my mind. It'll kind of put me at ease so I can get back to doing more important things. So we have to punctuate not only our days, but our weeks and months, and then our years with retreats and a vacation, with diversions, because our mind needs to rest. So again, this is a reminder, diversions are not bad in themselves. They're only bad if they're getting you off task. So the best thing to do is plan your diversions. Okay, so that's the tip of the week. I hope you find it helpful. And now we're going to move into our feature segment. We talk about what I think is the most important devotional prayer you can be doing every day, plus for others. If you were on a desert island and you could only have one book, which would it be? You know, I've heard people who are smart, Alex, they say The Beginner's Guide to Building Ships. That's a good answer. Most people say the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God, and it equips us for salvation. So we would be able to hear God's Word every day as we read it. Well, today's topic is similar to that. If you could only practice one devotion, which would it be? Most important devotion. Today, I'm going to go through the five that I think are the essential building blocks of Catholic spirituality, of even Christian spirituality. And I'm going to do them in ascending order. So I'm going to start with number five, and I'm going to go up to number one. And so the fifth one, number five, would be daily meal prayers. This might be an afterthought for some of us. Some of us have maybe been doing this since we were kids, and it's second nature. But I think especially for families, you've got to have the daily prayer for meals. And not just the one before the meal, the one after the meal also. So before the meal, traditionally say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, okay? And then after the meal, it's we give thee thanks for these and all thy benefits, Almighty God, who livest and reignest, world without end. Amen. And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. So that bookends every meal. It reminds us that our daily bread, our food, our sustenance comes from the hand of God. And before we receive it and after we receive it, we acknowledge God's providential care. And I'll be honest, sometimes I forget the last one. I'll be honest, sometimes I do. I'm not perfect on that, right? It's the hard one to remember because meals end in different ways depending on different contexts, so it's hard to always nail that one. And sometimes you have to say it quietly because you've already gotten up from the table, maybe you're at a business lunch, and you remember, oh, I got to say that prayer. So you just say it in your heart quietly. It's great. You said it, okay? So that's the fifth one. Also for families, before we move on to number four, for families, this is really important. It brings them together, and it allows the children to see dad praying. The kids need to see you praying, dad. They need to see both parents praying, but they really need to see the father praying because the father images God the Father. So we have to pray before and after meals. And I'm going to challenge you to pray the prayers, the bless us, O Lord, and the concluding prayer, to do it in English, or whatever language you speak, and learn the Latin, Benedict Domine, right? Learn the Latin. And also, especially for the fathers, I would challenge you to occasionally go freestyle. And, you know, just say a prayer, Lord, we thank you for this meal and for mommy who made it. And I thank you for all these beautiful kids. And we ask your blessing upon them and the food. In Jesus' name, amen. That way the kids see that your prayer life is intimate, it's alive, and that you're thankful for them and the food and the family and the home. It's a great witness. So moving on now to number four, the morning offering. I put this in fourth place, the morning offering. When you wake up in the morning, you roll out of bed, you get on your knees, or you turn to a beautiful, maybe a picture of Jesus or Mary or one of your favorite saints, and you remind yourself that God brought you through the night, and then you offer to God your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings to God that day. So the very first moments of your day are already dedicated to God. And this sets the tone for the whole day. The whole day. Whether you remember that prayer or not throughout the day, that prayer is with you. God remembers it. And so you're offering everything good and everything not so good that happens during that day in gratitude, but also in a form of redemptive suffering. You know, even if you have, say, heartburn or someone insults you, and in the moment you're not feeling really holy, really like a saint, you're not feeling righteous, still that prayer is with you. And in a virtual way, you're offering it to God because you already did it in the morning. Okay, so that's a really important prayer. The third most important prayer or devotion, I would say, is Bible reading. I really think Bible reading is important because that's how we hear the voice of God. There's a lot of people who want to be mystics and want to have apparitions and visions and allocutions from God and Mary and whatnot. But we can be assured, every time you crack open that Bible, God is speaking to you. You can be 100% sure when you're reading the Bible, you're reading God's words. So you don't have to chase after a bunch of visions or apparitions. You have God's voice right there on your nightstand. So are you reading it every day? And last week we shared a simple plan. If you just want to get started, I recommend that you read a psalm a day, a proverb, either just one proverb or a whole chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters of Proverbs, which makes it perfect for reading it every month. 31 days, 31 chapters. And then a portion of the Gospels, one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I think if you do that, that'll take you maybe 2 minutes or less every day, hopefully in the morning, where you can hear God's word. And it's amazing. As you do this, you'll realize throughout the day, hey, what that person said relates directly to what I read in Proverbs today. Or, wow, this situation that I'm in is exactly what Christ spoke about in the gospel reading that I had this morning. It's remarkable how God's word is alive and speaking to your life. So that's the third one, Bible reading. The second most important devotion is mental prayer. These are all my opinion, okay? You might disagree. In fact, if you do, go to the website, taylormarshall.com, and podcast. You can leave a comment. The second one is mental prayer. Now, what is meant by mental prayer? Well, mental prayer is whenever we speak to God and we use our own mind, our own heart, to lay out what's in our mind or our heart, right? So we say, God, I'm really discouraged today, or I don't know if I can continue to believe this, God, or, you know, I'm starting to lose my faith, or God, I'm so happy that you gave me this new job, or we're so happy that we're going to have another baby, or we're so scared that we're going to have another baby. This is a time that you set aside where you just speak to God in the silence of your heart. You know, you're not saying prayers you've memorized, like the Our Father and the Hail Mary. You're saying prayers that you're making up in your heart. And you're talking about all your joys, works, and sufferings to God in His presence. And sometimes you have nothing to say. You just sit there in God's presence and say, I love you. I'm here with you, Lord. I want to be with you. I don't have anything to say. I'm so tired or I'm so discouraged, but I'm going to be in your presence in solitude, in the quiet, and you just speak to my soul in some way because I need you now. All right. And I would recommend that you start off with 15 minutes, maybe 5 or 10. You know, if you're really busy, if you're a mom, you have a lot of kids, that might, you know, 15 or 30 minutes may be unattainable. Just get your iPhone out or your Android device, put the timer on 5 minutes, go into a room and just be quiet before the Lord and tell him all your needs. If you do this, you're going to be inspired by God. You're going to have peace. I know for me personally, this is where the peace and the comfort comes from. If my wife sees me getting kind of stressed out and anxious, she'll say, did you do your mental prayer today? Right? Because she knows that my anxiety will go up to the extent that I don't have mental prayer, that I'm not putting all of this into God's presence. So that's the second one. And then number one, drum roll. The number one devotion, I think it's the non-negotiable devotion that you should be doing every day is the rosary, the Holy Rosary. Now, why do I say that? You know, some people might say, oh, no, the Bible, you know, or mental prayer, talking to God, talking to our Lord Jesus Christ. The rosary is the gospel on beads. The rosary combines everything that I just mentioned, okay? So we're giving an offering of ourselves to God. The mysteries of the rosary are all taken from the Bible. So we're meditating on the Gospels. It's like a Bible reading. All right, we're going all the way through from the Annunciation of St. Gabriel to the Virgin Mary to the Visitation when Mary was pregnant with Jesus to the birth of our Lord Jesus to the presentation of Christ in the temple, finding him in the temple, and so on and so forth. The mysteries lead us through the story of Scripture. So it's very biblical. Not only that, the Our Father is straight out of the Bible. So when you pray the Our Father, you are quoting Scripture. The Hail Mary, the first half of the Hail Mary is Scripture. So you're quoting Scripture yet again. Also, as you contemplate these mysteries, you're doing mental prayer, ideally, right? As you think about the Visitation or the birth of Jesus, maybe as you're thinking about the Nativity, the birth of Christ, you start praying for all the people you know who are pregnant or who just had a baby, right? That's mental prayer, right? So the rosary brings all this together, but there's two other reasons why I think the rosary is number one. First, the popes for the past 200 years have been writing encyclicals and preaching and prescribing indulgences for the rosary. They keep, you know, Leo XIII wrote so many encyclicals on the rosary. All the popes since then have been writing on the rosary and telling people, pray the rosary. Padre Pio says it is the weapon against the devil. But also, almost every single Marian apparition that I can think of, Our Lady exhorts us to pray the rosary, especially at Fatima. She says that the laity are to pray one-third of the rosary every day. One-third of 15 decades is 5 decades every day. So you pray the five mysteries every single day. That's what she asks of the laity, the baptized people. She asks that of us because it brings together Scripture, vocal prayer, and mental prayer. All the great saints have been devoted to the rosary. All the great saints since St. Dominic have had a love for the rosary. because it's right there in your pocket. You can pull it out anytime. Anytime you're stressed out or anytime you're happy, you can pray the rosary, and the peace of Jesus Christ will flow into your heart through the immaculate and beautiful hands of Mary. Always. Guaranteed. So that's it. The rosary. If you could only do one thing of these five, start the daily rosary. In fact, why not go for the family rosary? I've written a blog post on how to get the family rosary started. If you have a lot of little kids, let me promise you something. It is tough. They're going to be tired and squirming and crying. And that's okay. That's okay. Your rosary as a family is not going to be like a Carmelite convent's rosary, right? It's going to be a little bit more stressful, a little more chaotic. That's okay. Just go with it. If you could see our family rosary, you might even wonder, are these people even praying? What is going on here, right? Because there's little kids and older kids, and sometimes dad is falling asleep, and sometimes mom is having to leave to nurse a child or, you know, whatever. It can be a chaotic thing, but we come together, and those graces flow regardless. So there you have it. The five, in my opinion, five most important devotions and prayers in my own life. Well, we still have some time for some questions. Every week sometimes we run out of time, but most weeks we do some questions, some Q&A. And if you'd like to leave a question, I would encourage you to go to taylormarshall.com/ASK, ask, as in ask a question, taylormarshall.com/ask, and you'll have instructions there, detailed instructions on how to leave a question. You can leave audio questions in a little voicemail over the internet there in the blog. And I take those questions, I save them, and then I drag them into this podcast, and I answer them. That's how I do it. So if you'd like your question featured, please go over there, taylormarshall.com/ask, ASK, and leave me a question, and we'll feature it. Okay, so our first question comes from Mark.
Hello, my name is Mark Marcia from Hidden Valley Lake, California. I've always wondered why do they refer to the Holy Eucharist as the bread of angels? That's my question. Thank you so much.
Mark, thanks so much for that call and that question. It's a really, really good one. The phrase bread of angels actually comes from the Bible, and you can find it in Psalm 77:25. It refers to the bread of angels. And here it's referring to the experience of the angels beholding the divine essence, what theologians call the beatific vision. When we get to heaven, may it be so, please God, we will be raised so as to see the essence of God, and it will make us perfectly happy forever and ever. That is how we will be perfectly fulfilled. Now, Thomas Aquinas also talks about this phrase, bread of angels, in the Summa Theologiae, in the third part, question 80. And let's take a look at that real quick. I'll put the citation in the show notes at taylormarshall.com, podcast, episode 8. But he talks about the phrase, bread of angels, with regard to the Eucharist, in part 3 of the Summa, Question 80, Article 2. And there he says that bread of angels refer to how the angels enjoy Christ himself from all eternity, because Christ, you know, is a divine person, the second person of the Trinity. The angels enjoy him. That's how they enjoy the beatific vision in and through Christ. He is the head of the church, right? And when men on earth receive the Eucharist, they participate in Christ in the most real way we can while we are in our pilgrimage here on earth. It's the closest that we can get to God is the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. So Thomas Aquinas says, consequently, man is said to eat the, quote, bread of angels because it belongs to the angels to do so firstly and principally, since they enjoy Christ in his proper species, and secondly, it belongs to humans who receive Christ under this sacrament. So the closest we can come to experiencing what the angels experience in heaven is to go to Mass and receive the Holy Eucharist. How amazing and beautiful is that? That we can approximate the experience of the angels by receiving Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Mark, thank you for that great question. Okay, well, let's go to our next question. This question comes from iCat, and she writes, Dr. Marshall, I so enjoy your blog and have learned so much from you. Being a cradle Catholic, I've heard that not only people, but places such as our homes, cities, countries, etc., have guardian angels, but cannot find info specifically stating so. Do you know if this is the case? Thank you so much for your reply. When you get some time, I know you're very busy. God bless you and your family through our dear Blessed Mother. Okay, so great. Well, thanks for that question, and thanks for those encouraging words. What you've heard is correct. St. Francis de Sales teaches this. In fact, whenever St. Francis de Sales traveled and he passed into a new diocese, so if he were on foot or riding horses, he would stop at the edge of that diocese, kneel down, and he would greet the guardian angel of the next diocese because he was moving into that angel's quote-unquote territory. And, of course, we also can pray and have guardian angels of our home, just as the devil tries to haunt places with demons, unclean spirits, so also God sends his protective angels over our parishes. Every parish has a guardian angel, every diocese, and every nation. Now, it's also in the Bible. We find this in the book of Daniel. And if we turn to Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, we'll see there that angels are assigned over certain territories, geographic locations, nations. So it's right there in the Bible. Historically, we find there also in Daniel that the archangel Michael, Saint Michael, was given governance over the nation of Israel, the Israelite people. And we know in the New Testament that Michael is also the patron angel of the entire Church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church. So yes, what you've heard is true, and it is in the Catholic tradition, and it is in the Bible. So thanks so much for that question. It certainly helps us have a better understanding of the doctrine of the angels. Well, I'm looking at the timer, and we're getting close to 30 minutes. So we'll stop with the questions there. Again, if you have a question, go to taylormarshall.com/askASK. Thank you for everyone who has rated this podcast. It continues to hold those leadership spot there on iTunes. And I would encourage you, if you're new to this podcast, please subscribe to it. That way you'll get the new episode every Wednesday. And also, please go over to iTunes and rate it. If you could leave a 5-star review, that would mean the world to me. I would be so grateful. Please rate it. It helps other people find it when they search in iTunes, when they search Christianity. This one will come up, and they'll start listening to it. So if it's helpful to you and you think it'll be helpful to others, please subscribe and rate it in iTunes. Thank you again for listening. Thank you also for all of those listeners who are now part of the New St. Thomas Institute. If you want to become a member of the New St. Thomas Institute and start enjoying our video courses online right there at home on your laptop or your iPad or even your iPhone, go to newstthomas.com. Enrollment is open right now, and you can sign up, and you can start watching all the videos, even the ones that have been in the last couple weeks. They're all there, and you can start enjoying those and learning and joining in our great conversation. So remember, as we do every week, our Lord Jesus Christ said that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.